We're speaking with Dr. Greg VandenHeuvel, who's the Associate Dean of Research for the Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine, associated with Western Michigan University. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And tell us, first of all, why is it important to develop antibody tests for COVID-19, and how will this specific test, if it's approved, be helpful?
Well, we really don't know very much about this new virus. The virus is called SARS-CoV-2, and it causes the disease COVID-19 that everybody has heard about. But it's a novel virus, and we don't know that much about it. We're learning more all the time. But we want to understand how individuals who get infected with this virus either get disease or don't, and how they respond to that. And typically, exposure to a virus results in an immune response that generates antibodies against the virus, and that's what we are looking to find out is how do individuals respond and generate antibodies to then recover from the disease.
I gather that this test that you are developing with a Kalamazoo-based firm called IonTox is somewhat different than other antibody tests.
Well, there are several different types of antibody tests. The kind that we are developing is called an ELISA test, and that stands for enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. And it's a type of test that allows one to determine how much antibody an individual has generated against the virus and what type of antibody. And so typically an individual exposed to a virus or any antigen will mount a very rapid response with a type of antibody called IgM. And then there will be a longer-term immunity that's generated by developing IgG-type antibodies. And this particular test can measure both of those, and it can also measure how much antibody, which is called the titer. There are other antibody tests called lateral flow assays, sometimes called rapid antibody test, and they do not measure titer. They just say whether an individual has antibodies to the virus or not.
And why is it helpful to know, you know, the number of antibodies that a person has?
Yeah, so one of the things that is still not clear exactly is, do people develop immunity to this particular virus, SARS-CoV-2? And that's the purpose of developing a vaccine, is so that you can vaccinate individuals and they will then provide their own immune response, so that when challenged with the virus, they will be immune to it. But we don't know, one, whether that happens, whether there can develop immunity, so that if an individual gets exposed to the virus, gets COVID-19, recovers from it, will they be protected in the future? And we don't know the answer to that. And so what we're hoping is we can find some, determine the levels of antibodies that are required for immunity. And that will be, you know, projects that are ongoing all over the world to determine what that is.
And hopefully a test of this kind would aid that effort then.
Absolutely, yes. The other aspect is we just don't really have any idea how many people in Western Michigan have been exposed to this virus. The state is tracking the number of cases of COVID-19, but have people gotten the disease and cycled through it. A lot of the resources went to the east side of the state early on in the pandemic, and so we're still kind of playing catch up on the west side of the state.
Perhaps you could explain why it's useful to, and what the differences are between tracking cases, the people known to have the disease, and how many people have been exposed to it.
Well, so the at least early on in the pandemic, the only people who were being tested for the disease were those that showed symptoms. And what has been discovered is that there are a lot of people who have been exposed to the virus who never develop symptoms. They're asymptomatic, but they may still pass the virus on to others. And so it becomes very important to know whether someone has been exposed to the disease. The other aspect is how long after exposure to the virus does it take for someone to develop antibodies? And now recently there's been some suggestions that individuals who have had very mild cases or have been asymptomatic don't generate a long-term antibody response. And so we'd like to know answers to all of those questions. How long does it take to develop an antibody response? How severe does the disease have to be for someone to develop an antibody response? And how many individuals within in a community have been exposed to the virus?
Now, you're seeking approval from the Food and Drug Administration for the test. Assuming that's forthcoming, how quickly could this test be rolled out for the public?
Well, the test can be used before receiving final FDA approval. There are actually over 100 tests that have been developed around the country and world, but only a few are FDA authorized. So we want to be FDA authorized, and so that's our goal. But the test could be used right now. But not being FDA approved, it would not be recognized by, for instance, an insurance company.
If someone were interested in getting the test, is that possible? And if so, how would they go about it?
That's a very good question. And there are, for instance, the WMED clinic may be able to provide the test. Even someone going to their own physician and asking, where could I go to get the test, can be told where to go.
You are working with IonTox on this test. Tell us a little bit about them.
So IonTox is a company at the Innovation Center, which is part of the School of Medicine, WMU Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine. And they generate tests. They have a lot of experience in these kind of tests, these ELISA tests. But they generate other kinds of tests as well. They're very skilled in that. The president and CEO is James McKim. And early on in the pandemic, at WMED, I'm part of the rapid response team. And testing was difficult to test for the virus or for the antibody at that time. And so we started talking about what we could do. And so I approached Sandra Cochran, who's the assistant dean of the Innovation Center, and asked if anybody there had experience developing ELISA test and was interested in developing an ELISA for COVID-19. And it turns out that IonTox had been thinking about doing this, and so we started talking and decided to partner on it. We've been able to provide At the medical school, we've been able to provide serum from patients who had been exposed to the virus, so they were COVID-19 positive, as well as serum from patients who were not, so COVID-19 negative, and those were required to develop the test. And then in collaboration with a company, internal company at WMED called Ferentox, and their director, Prentice Jones, we did some what are called double-blind assays to show that this test would accurately detect COVID-19 positive antibodies within sera. And the test came out 100% accurate. So a double-blind test means that nobody knows what the samples are. They're just mixed together, and it's not until after the test results are received that that data is unmasked and they're matched up. And we were delighted to see that the test was 100% accurate.
One of the treatments for people who've become severely ill with the disease that appears to be getting some good results has been to give those people plasma from those who have recovered from the disease or at least have a large number of antibodies to it. I would think that a test of this kind could help programs of that sort.
Well, that's exactly right. That's called convalescent plasma treatment, and that's our goal as well, to find out who has become seroconverted, meaning that they have antibodies against the virus, and if they have abundant antibodies, then they would be candidates to donate their serum to individuals who have the disease and are really struggling. And so you're absolutely right. That was one of the other goals that this test would help with. I think that from my standpoint as Associate Dean for Research, I'm always looking for opportunities to increase research interactions within the community. And this has been a great success to work together with Iontox. And we hope that there will be other opportunities to for the medical school investigators to engage with scientists at the Innovation Center.
We've been speaking with Greg Vandenhoevel, who is the Associate Dean of Research at the Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine in Kalamazoo. Thank you again so much for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.